Has been a very busy week with a new presidential administration, a lot of executive orders, still not a lot of congressional action. That's still yet to come, but with the executive orders and the promise of more to come, a lot of change, a lot of concern, a lot of resistance on the national, the state, and the local level. That's taken the forms of organizations, marches, individuals organizing together, and also cities and counties and municipalities and states speaking out as well. And that includes the municipalities here in Orange County. We're joined now by Lydia Lavelle, the mayor of Carrboro, by phone this week. Mayor, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Aaron. Happy to join you again. Yes.
And let's start by talking about immigration, since that has been the focus of executive orders and a lot of discussion, especially in the last 24 hours. Carrboro has released a statement, and quoting you on Facebook here, Carrboro, North Carolina prides itself on being a diverse and inclusive community. We have many immigrant residents who contribute greatly to the spirit and fabric of our town. As town officials, we're committed to looking out for the safety of all of our residents, and we are resolved to continue lawfully and compassionately doing so. That has been the sentiment for the town of Carrboro for as long as I've ever known, and I know everyone in positions of authority in Carrboro want to continue down that road as well, with or without the Trump administration. So how does this proceed going forward? What is the town of Carrboro going to do to continue to remain inclusive?
Well, you know, we're gonna continue doing exactly what the statement says, right? You know, we want to keep this this relationship with all of our citizens, particularly our immigrant population, this one of understanding that we want them to continue to live in our town, work in our town, be members of our town that are deeply ingrained in the activities and giving us input and giving us feedback and feel safe and feel like they can approach all of the officials in town. Crafting that statement and talking to all the Board of Aldermen members when we crafted it, we are kind of, uniquely situated being in the state of North Carolina in that our local authority is only derived by the state, as we know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we, we're walking this line between what we're allowed to do legally, but what we, in practice, believe in Carrboro. And so it's really, we want to make sure people understand that we're the same Carrboro we've always been.
And I know I was speaking with Pam Heminger in Chapel Hill about this yesterday, talking about sanctuary city policy, for instance, and the state legislature has already effectively banned sanctuary cities across the state. So the executive order from the president, was it yesterday or the day before? I can't even remember now. It doesn't really have any direct impact on cities or counties in the state of North Carolina, but Chapel Hill and Carrboro, both before and after that state law passed, both very clearly and publicly said whether or not we have the official designation of sanctuary city, we're going to continue to pursue policies of law enforcement that prioritize other things and devote limited and scarce resources to other priorities in law enforcement over and above enforcing immigration regulations. How do you walk, and I know Mayor Heminger said that they're going to continue to do that in Chapel Hill, I assume the same thing in Carrboro, how do you continue to walk that tightrope?
Yeah, well, and that's the question. And number one is by having a police force that really understands, how Carrboro is and how the council and how the board here feels about the members of our community, as do our police officers, recognizing that building that trusting relationship with everyone in town really ultimately ends up helping the town. And another thing I would say, Aaron, is if an outside group comes to Carrboro and says, we're going to yank your funding, your federal funding or your state funding, because you are a, quote, sanctuary city, they would really need to show us, I would want to say to them, show us what ordinance or statute or law that we have passed in Carrboro that makes us a, quote, sanctuary city. Because as I said, in a lot of other communities, mayors and councils have, they have authority to absolutely do that, right? Like right now I'm looking at, this is a group I'm a member of called Cities for Action. and they issued a statement about the, you know, president's executive action 2 days ago. And then they asked all of us, you know, give us your own statement related to your own town. And so when I look at all these statements, Atlanta, Georgia, Austin, you know, Birmingham, Boston, Chicago, Denver, Jersey City, Houston, you know, and of course there's Carborough and, and, you know, Los Angeles. And, you know, they're mostly big cities that have executive authority and have and can really say, you know, we have the local autonomy and local authority to do this. And in North Carolina, you know, we don't even have the authority to do it, but we're trying to do what we can within the strange bounds of the law in North Carolina, but yet, you know, reassure our citizens and our residents that they don't have anything to fear from that end from the town of Carborough. So you're right. I mean, it's a very tough line to walk.
Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and let's sort of broaden the focus because, you know, we've been talking about immigration for the last 24, 48 hours especially, but there have been a lot of executive orders that have come down from the Trump administration on a lot of different issues, more to come. Congress is going to be taking action here soon. They're already starting to talk about doing that. You know, there's going to be more to come. What is the most concerning thing for you personally, and what's the most concerning thing for local government, the town of Carborough?
Yeah. Well, I do think I will say this immigration one has not only concerned a lot of residents who are not directly impacted. You know, I'm hearing from a lot of our citizens that say, you know, Mayor, what are we doing? So I have a lot of people who are not affected by it who are concerned. But I'm hearing from a lot of members, or at least via leaders in the community, of people who are immigrants in our community that are actually, you know, really worried and fearful and wonder what's going to happen. So I think that one is really, really huge, especially for a town where we have some, you know, 15% of our community is, for example, Hispanic. You know, and then we also are a community that welcomes refugees. And I know we have, you know, refugees from you know, lots of different, you know, countries in, you know, Carborough, Chapel Hill, Orange County. And I'll say one more thing, Aaron, I meant to say just in general about the executive order, this one about immigration. It's really kind of like a form of coercion or bullying to this withholding of federal funds, withholding of state funds. I think I read in the New York Times yesterday that, you know, one of the reasons that a lot of these mayors are fighting back is because this kind of action may not even be legal. It may not even pass muster because it's the kind of retaliatory effort by the branch that's not directly related to even what the monies are being given for. So there's also that angle of just, you know, kind of bullying that is makes it even more reprehensible as it is than it is right now.
From a lot of the same people who criticize President Obama for threatening to withhold federal funds from cities that didn't have friendly policies towards transgender people just a year ago, right?
Right. That's actually a very, very good point. But, you know, it's so that's one, is this, you know, tiptoeing around really what is a bullying kind of aspect by the president is just, you know, I'd rather come out and just respond and say, you know, look, regardless of what you're saying, we want to look out for our citizens. We want to stand up for our citizens. So that's all in line with the immigration debacle of this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think also disconcerting, you know, we see that I think there's going to be some kind of executive order probably soon about something to do with, for example, you know, extreme vetting of immigrants. So we might see that some of our refugees who are here lawfully and legally might feel additional angst. And then the other, just flat out, is, you know, I'm kind of warily looking out for who's going to be the nominee next week for the United States Supreme Court. And we, it'll be kind of tit for tat having one of these three finalists that you see in the news appointed to fill, right, Justice Scalia's seat, because it'll probably be another, you know, extreme conservative. All three of them are around 50 years old, so it'll be someone who'll be on the court for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that appointment, that's when the next 3 years and 11 months become really critical, because if another member of the court needs to be replaced, and if it's a member of the more liberal wing of the court, that's when we'll really see the net effect of what could be really what's the worst thing that could happen, in my view, out of this presidency for the next 30, 40 years.
Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle, and we were talking about this before we got started, but the role of the Supreme Court and the role of the Justice Department and the Solicitor General in terms of cases getting to the Supreme Court. We were talking earlier this week about a lawsuit in North Carolina. Texas has one, too, challenging voter ID laws, which the U.S. Department of Justice had signed on to those lawsuits during the Obama administration. Now, Trump administration, DOJ, isn't going to be signing on to those lawsuits anymore. The lawsuits are still going to be going forward with basically the same attorneys, no DOJ attorneys, but a lot of the other same attorneys are going to be taking the lawsuit forward through the same courts with the same arguments. In the absence of the Department of Justice, though, the fact that the Department of Justice won't be signing on to those lawsuits anymore, does that make a difference, just sort of in general, how much of an influence does the DOJ have when it comes to cases being heard at the higher level or cases being decided one way or the other at the higher level?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I think we'll see more about that as we see the folks get assigned and confirmed in the Department of Justice, and as we see them making their firm decisions on whether they're going to move forward with some of these actions or not, and then as we see their policies shake down. In particular, I'm thinking, you know, for example, with some of the transgender litigation, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know that already the reason that some of those were moving forward were because of very specific guidance that was given by Loretta Lynch and her staff to DOJ attorneys. And, you know, frankly, I'm a little worried, for example, in that arena, how those arguments will move forward. It's as if some of them will vanish because you no longer have DOJ guidance, right? So then you're looking on, like you say, just the regular attorneys arguing things like equal protection or, you know, animus toward a group, you know, something like that. But I think it will certainly hurt in some instances to not have DOJ arguing alongside of regular, you know, traditional kind of civil rights attorneys in some of those cases. But it's not to say that the arguments aren't still there for those attorneys that are left to argue. It's just they might have to take a little slightly different take or take on more importance.
And certainly in the case of the transgender issue, another Gavin Grimm case in Virginia, which we're all watching in North Carolina because of the obvious relevance to House Bill 2, part one of it at least, that whole case, and tell me if I'm wrong, but a significant part of that case was based on the DOJ saying that the ban on sex discrimination in the Civil Rights Act and the Education Amendments of 72 extend to gender identity, but that was statutory interpretation, which a new attorney general could change and probably will. So that completely changes the nature of that case, right?
Yeah. No, there's no question about it. One main argument of that case, I think, will go by the wayside or not be nearly as relevant. And my memory in that case was that's really what that appeal turned on, and they maybe even didn't address, even with any depth, the other arguments. So what it means is the other argument, the equal protection arguments and so forth, those will bubble up more and be more important.
Speaking with Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle again, and we'll keep following that as it continues to develop, which it will next week. Donald Trump reportedly going to announce his Supreme Court nominee to replace Tony Scalia next week sometime, and then the Senate hearing will continue after that. Before we let you go, let's turn to local issues. I know I just had a meeting earlier this week for the Carborough Board of Aldermen, talking, among other things, about getting an update on economic development activities, and this is budget year, so there's going to be a public hearing coming up soon, right? On the budget?
Yeah. So we had on Tuesday night, we had our first, actually our very first budget, and kind of heard from some folks and have been getting some emails from some citizens kind of interested in many of the projects we've been talking about that we want to try to accomplish in the coming years. We're right now continuing to accept public comments. And during this time of the year, our town manager is meeting with each of the department heads and meeting with each of us individually. The first week in May is when he actually presents his actual budget to the Board of Aldermen. But you know, we have a lot happening in Carrboro and a lot of priorities, and so I would encourage people to get in touch with the town manager or email our clerk so that they can get out to all the Board of Aldermen and us about your what you see as the priorities for the town in the upcoming year.
And economic development activities?
Yeah. And so the other, right, thank you. And so I think the other thing that was useful the other night, in addition to the citizen survey we heard about, was Annette Stone Lafferty presented, kind of gave us a little economic development report reminding us of what projects we had that were approved and that are in the pipeline right now. Shelton Station being built on Greensboro Street, South Green, which is going to be on South Greensboro, and how it's underway. And that the Hilton Garden Inn, that's our second hotel, we approved it, and it's going to, construction is going to begin on that project near the end of the third quarter or beginning of the fourth quarter this year. And so what she did was she talked about those three projects and gave us the estimated property tax value, the property, like the taxes we would see from those developments, as well as the estimated sales tax we would see from those. So it was really exciting to hear about those projects that are coming on board.
And we'll keep following those this year. Townofcarrboro.org is the town's website. If you want more information on that, again, you'll have plenty more chances to weigh in on the budget as those conversations continue through the first part of the year. Mayor Lavelle, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.